Good morning, church. Let's stand to our feet and sing.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. And I raise a hallelujah. And I will watch the darkness flee. And I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. And I raise a
Redeemer Bible Church. It is great to be here with you today. Thank you for joining us, whether in person or online. This week we have a few short announcements. This week we have two guests with us today. It's Joey and Leela George visiting here. They're from the Asian Christian Academy in India. They're going to be in a little bit sharing a little bit of information about what they're doing over there in their ministry. And in addition, following this service, we're going to be having a potluck meal. Here's some more testimonies and more about what the Lord is doing in their ministry. So please be sure to be there, whether you brought anything or didn't. There'll be plenty of food there. Please be sure to come. Also, we're going to be having our annual meeting on June 22nd, so about a month away. If you're a voting member of the church, please be sure to be there. It's going to be important information to be covered in that meeting, some votes to be had. But most importantly, from my opinion, there's also going to be a meal following the business meeting. So please be sure to be there and put it on your calendars. Also, there are nominees' bios that are available. They're in the foyer at the welcome desk. Get some information about officers and votes that will be held. So please be sure to go there, get some relevant information to prepare for that meeting. And finally, we have had Blake Haynes begin recently as our facilities manager. He was in the first service, and a lot of people took the time to welcome him and make him and his girlfriend feel welcome. Not here in this service, but if you see him around at any time, please be sure to shake his hand and tell him we are very happy to have him here serving us. On the back side of your bulletins, you can find a few different ways to give to help support the ministries of this church. We encourage you to do so faithfully as the Lord leads you.
Good morning. It is our pleasure as a missions leadership team to introduce to you again, after 2 years, been away from us, Joy and Lila George. They have Asian Christian Academy plus so much more in India. And I want to get Joy and Lila come up here and just introduce yourselves so you can put a name to the smiles that they have.
Praise the Lord. It's a privilege and honor for us to be a part of this in Redeemer's Bible Church missions. And I left after graduating from Dallas Theological Seminary with a PhD in Bible Exposition in 1984. And we bought about 50 acres of land outside of Bangalore with the intention of building a seminary like Dallas Theological Seminary. By the grace of God, we were able to start that ministry, and it has grown through the years. And more than 1,500 graduates with masters in theology. And also we have a doctoral program, Doctor of Ministry, and Doctor of Philosophy degrees. And our graduates are serving the Lord not only in India, but also in Myanmar, in Nepal, in Thailand. And so when we named it Asian Christian Academy, we never thought that we are going to go beyond India. But now we are in many countries outside of India in Asia. We also have graduates serving the Lord in Kenya and Malawi, and many other places as well. So our main goal, our core ministry is theological seminary, but then we wanted to have a holistic ministry where we will be able to make the ministry self-supporting. Through the years that we developed our agricultural department, we grow most of the stuff that we use in our seminary. In our cafeteria, we grow most of the vegetables, most of the potatoes, and many other grains and things like that. So it is not only to gain monetary support, but also to show to the people in the community that we are also doing the work similar to theirs, so they have more meaning in their identification with us. And so when we bought a tractor, John Deere tractor many years ago, there was nobody else in that area had a John Deere tractor. But after the years, when they saw that it is a good machine, good tractor, so they also started buying. Now, many of the people in that area, especially, you know, in their nearby villages, they have John Deere tractor. What I'm trying to say is gospel is like that. You show how it is going to work. And it is working in the lives of people. And so our service is the main factor that is attracting people to Jesus Christ. So we serve in a hospital. We have a hospital. We have an orphanage ministry. We have a ROH, which is children with autism problems, that we have an autistic center. And then also we have the first farm-to-table culinary school where we train many of our children from the high school to go into food industries. So we are serving the community in a great way and showing them the best way to do the ministry. And we have a lot of places in North India and in many states in India. We have pastoral training for lay pastors. And they are, because we have so many Christians without proper education to lead, so our graduates in various places start regional centers. We are supporting them and helping them so that they can train these people and so they can lead the churches that are coming up. Even though we are a country which is dominated by Hindus, but Christianity is growing tremendously. We were 50 years ago when we started the ministry, probably the percentage of Christians in India maybe 3%. Now in the state where we are, it is more than 10%. And northern India also, even though it is a dry area for Christianity, but still it is coming up. And now in Punjab, in Haryana, and Delhi area and all that, millions of people are coming to know Christ. But these people need leadership, and our seminary is basically helping to give them the local lay leadership. So the three of the ministries, total we have 9 different ministries. Three of them, they our high school, our hospital, and the orphanage ministry. I think Leela will share a few things.
I will start with the school. When we moved there, and they never heard the name Christians, and they didn't know anything. They said, we have nothing to do with the Christians. So the only way to make friendship was to start a small school. We thought it is going to be small, but they realized they like our service, and more people started coming. We started with 225 children 27 years ago. Now we have 3,400 children, and started with 95% of the children were Hindus. The rest were Muslims, maybe 1% nominal Christians. And 27 years ago, I started the scripture teaching, which is called Creation to Christ, which was developed by the new tribe. That really worked for us. And I myself was surprised, and I started learning more and growing in the word as I started teaching. And to my surprise, many of them gave in writing that I have trusted in Jesus alone for the salvation. So now we are able to reach out to 3,400 children. Out of that, right now we may have about 80% Hindus, maybe 10% Muslims, other 10% Christian background. Many Christians are namesake Christians, not many are believers. So we are able to continue doing that. But the best way we decided to stay safe was give a scholarship for the children who does well in the scripture. Just like I give tests for other subject, science, math, I give 3 tests for the moral instruction or scripture. Whoever does well in the highest three, we give them 3 months fee waived, which is a great thing for the kids. So that helped us to stay away from the trouble, and also gave free Bible. Second thing was the ray of hope. And when we started, we didn't know that many children have autism. I heard from my daughter-in-law that many parents were taking the child and going to end their life. And they found this place, and they found hope, and many have really turned to Christ through that ministry. Children are doing well. Of course, Agape Ministry, Agape Hospital is a small clinic, start with. Now we have a 20-bed hospital, and we reach out to the community, and social service, we'll charge some. And we have a few doctors and 10, 12 nurses. We are able to reach out and tell them, Jesus loved us, He cared for us, so our motto is hope and healing. When they come, we get a chance to talk to them. When they are admitted, share the gospel through that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Please come for the potluck after this so you can hear more about their ministries. Be encouraged and enlightened what the Lord is doing in their lives. You just can't believe it unless you hear it. Come share the lunch with us. Also, change courses here just a little bit, talk about Word of Life Hungary. Since we're not sending a team there this year, we are sending John, our own John Stogner. And what we're doing also is trying to raise a little bit of money for John. Not just, he doesn't have much of a shortfall, but he does need something. And not only that, we have also an opportunity to share scholarships for each child that need to go to camp in Hungary. It costs about $250 per child for the week, so they're looking for some scholarships. So let's remember, go ahead and give online or however, drop it in the box. But John and Word of Life would love to have your gifts. Thank you.
Okay, Redeemer, let's stand to our feet and continue worship together.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty fear? Because shame's done all its sealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years until the past to disappear? Tell you about my Jesus in all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 For all the guilty, who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, and rises up from an empty grave. And ain't no sinner that he can't save. And let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Sing it out. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let my Jesus change your life. I love you, Lord. Fails me all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up till I lay in my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. In all my life, you have been faithful. Been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, running after me. When my life's laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful.
Sing it right to him, church.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Surrender all to him.
and their drums and voices.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you've done. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us, guiding us, encouraging us, correcting us where we're wrong. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in this place, and I pray that you would be with us. I pray that you would be with Cameron as he brings forth your word, and I pray that it would be your words, Father. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to receive them, and I pray that we would anything that we're carrying, we would lay down at your feet at this moment, that we would be able to fully receive what you have for us. Lord, that we'd be able to follow you more closely, and that in our daily lives, we would look more like you every day. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
All right. Well, good morning, church. It is great to be with you this morning. As the week has progressed, there's a lot of preparation that comes with getting ready for a Sunday service. And so normally I will get notifications for playing on the worship team. And so I got a text from Alex earlier this week because he knew I was preaching and said, hey, do you want to play keys as well? I thought, well, I can't do the whole service, but that would have been fun to play today. But we'll be back on that next week. Happy Memorial Day weekend to all of you. It is great to be here today, but it has been a long time since I have been here on stage to preach. I think the last time I was up here to give a message was on New Year's Eve of 2023. So it's been about a year and a half, give or take, since I've given a message here at Redeemer. And so I thought this would be an appropriate time to provide you with some life updates as to how things have been going in my world. And over the last year and a half. Well, about two weeks ago, I experienced a significant life change. Since coming to this church in 2021, when I was going around and meeting many of you, whenever I would shake someone's hand or introduce myself, I would say, hi, I'm Cameron. I'm a student at DTS. And that kind of became my title around here. This was Cameron, the DTS student. And when I originally got here, many of you had a lot of questions about this title. You would ask, are you an intern? Are you here for a program? Are you trying to do something for your degree? And I had to kind of explain, no, I'm here just as I'm just here to find a church home. And eventually this became my home and have been here for the last 4 years. Well, 2 weeks ago, I went through this momentous occasion. In that on a Saturday morning, I got up bright and early, and I walked across the stage in a cap and gown to receive my diploma and graduate. So on that Saturday, I, again, put on the cap and gown. I shook the president of the seminary's hand, and he gave me a tube, an empty tube that will one day hold my degree. Because I'm not quite done yet. I have about 3 more months of an internship that I'm actually working on at the seminary, doing some academic work, teaching, things like that. So I'll wrap that up in August, and then the degree is finally mine. So it's been a 5-year journey of achieving this master's degree. It's been a long time. And I'm still kind of reeling and letting that sink in that I've done this. But with that comes the title change, that no longer am I Cameron the DTS student, but now I'm just Cameron. Or as someone suggested earlier this morning, Cameron the semi-graduate of DTS. Now having said all that, despite this being a very significant life change, it's come with a lot of questions. Some that have really been keeping me up at night. And as many of you know, when you experience a significant change like a graduation or maybe a marriage or whatever that may be, a career change, people often have questions for you. They will ask, well, what are your next steps? What are you doing next? What's in your future? And at this time, I don't have a great answer for you. And because of that, this has led to me asking several existential questions about what I'm doing here in my life. Sometimes I'm often up at night staring at the ceiling going, what do you have me doing, Lord? Was this all worth it? How am I going to use this degree? What are you having me do in this season? Because there's no clear path yet. So what is going on here, God? And I think I'm speaking specifically about graduating from a university. But I think within the Christian race that we call life, we are often presented with clearly defined start and a clearly defined end. We know where we've come from and where we're going. But on our Christian walks and in our Christian races called life, we often can get in these gray areas where we often feel directionless. And we too have those same questions regarding our walk. Are we doing the right thing? God, what do you have in store for this next chapter of my life? Am I still running the race? What am I doing during a season of stumbling, Lord? These are all questions we face. And sometimes this can cause us to even play the comparison game. We'll turn to the people in the pews beside us or the many people in our life and compare our Christian lives with theirs and say, I don't know, God. I don't know if I'm doing this right anymore. Well, thankfully, we're going to look at an antithetical proverb today that I think will give us some clarity as to what do we do in those transitions or those difficult seasons where we're asking these questions. And I think this proverb can speak into our lives no matter where we're on, what leg of the race we're on, whether we're just getting started, maybe we're nearing the end, or we might be in a period of we don't really know where we're going or where we're at. So today we'll see what it means for us to be on the path of righteousness. And then we'll compare that to what it means to be on the path of the wicked. So if you have a Bible with you, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. So we're going to be in Proverbs 4, verses 18 and 19 today. And this is kind of going to serve as a conclusion to a longer section of the text, starting in verse 10, where the author of Proverbs, or it's commonly believed, Solomon is saying to his sons about taking hold of wisdom. What it means for them to do that. That those who take hold of wisdom, it's not just merely a cognitive assent or kind of a understanding of wisdom, but it's taking your hand and gripping it. And in that grip, you're allowing it to seep into your life and making it encompass you totally. That wisdom is what defines you. And in doing so, you're to walk down the path of the wise. And throughout this passage, starting in verse 10 and leading up to where we're going to start today, he's contrasted those who grip wisdom with those who grip wickedness or have wickedness define their lives. And he shows with the wicked how even the food they eat has been received with ill-gotten gains, that they're just rotten to the core. And so we'll look at the two paths today, those that tread on the way of the righteous and those that tread on the way of the wicked, and we'll see what characterizes them this morning. So let's begin with the way of the righteous, starting in verse 18. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. It says this, "But the path of the righteous is like the bright morning light, growing brighter and brighter until full day." So we see that the road of righteousness is bright, leading to a safe path free of race-ending obstructions. Throughout the text of Scripture, we see God being compared to light or being characterized as light. My mind immediately goes to the Psalms, Psalm 27, famously characterizing him as such. And then Isaiah uses the same imagery in his text as well. But we see that God being light is a key characteristic of the path of righteousness, that there is light purveying throughout the path. But not only that, the author talks about how the light is growing ever brighter. I think there's some intentional words used here when he calls that he compares the path of righteousness to a bright morning light. Thinking about the morning, the dawn, the sun continues to get brighter until it reaches high noon. I think it's deliberate he didn't say an afternoon light, for example. Because if, say, it was sunny at 3 p.m., we know eventually that is going to lead to dusk and to darkness. But here the light will culminate in full brightness. And I think this has in mind the culmination of that Christian race, that as we continue to tread down the path of righteousness, God will illuminate all of the things that he is doing until we are finally able to see the fullness of that at the end of the race. We also commonly talk about that as sanctification here. But the light is shining ever brighter for those who walk down the path. And in doing so, because it's bright, those who are traveling down the path can see. They can see what's ahead of them. They have clarity as to where they are going with the steps they make. And I think this is both for short steps, being able to see maybe some obstructions along the way. They're able to walk around them. They're able to see their footsteps ahead of them. But also pointing to that bright salvific future, that they have that future hope in mind, no matter where they are on the path. So those who walk the road of righteousness have clarity. They're being illuminated. Their lives are being illuminated by the Lord's wisdom. But what about those who are on the other path? Let's look at the path of the wicked here in verse 19. It says that the way of the wicked is like gloomy darkness. They do not know what they stumble over. So the path of the wicked is marked by haziness, uncertainty, and distraught. In doing a little bit of research on some of the words here, the Hebrew words here, I found that the word for darkness that is used by the author here was also used previously in the biblical text to describe the plague of darkness that befell over Egypt. So think about that insurmountable blackness that just seeped over that country. Couldn't even see 3 inches ahead of you. That's what the author has in mind here, this just impenetrable darkness. And Moses also writes in Deuteronomy about using the same word for those who are not following the Lord's laws. He talks about how those people are stumbling around like people in darkness. So they're just shuffling. They're not aware of what's going on here. And I think that imagery is also in play here in Proverbs. That those who are walking the way of the wicked are essentially blind to whatever befalls them. They are devoid of that moral light in one's conscience. And this results in them stumbling. But the sad thing about the stumbling that's taking place here is they don't even know why they're stumbling. It just keeps happening. So they're just tripping over stuff. And that stumbling can take a variety of flavors, but they have no idea that's what's actually causing them to stumble. So it's just utter spiritual blindness that befalls those who choose the way of the wicked. So what do we do with these passages that we've read today? What do we do with this knowledge of the clarity that comes from the way of the righteous and the blindness that comes from the way of the wicked? In thinking through, we see that this is the culmination of the wisdom that started in verse 10. That here Solomon is instructing his sons to take hold of that wisdom, and that those who grip it firmly and allow it to seep into all the aspects of their life will tread down the path of righteousness. And those who do not will ultimately take the other path. And this idea is seen throughout Scripture of the two ways, if you will. Jesus talks similarly in Matthew 7 about the two ways, that there is a way of the righteous, but it is a very narrow way, whereas the way of the wicked is broad, open to all who want to go down there. This idea is continually espoused throughout Scripture. But in light of this, I have two questions for us today. First, what path are you on today? Now, for many of you who are here, I know the answer is probably a certain, I am on the path of righteousness, and praise God for that. But maybe there are some of you who are thinking about that stumbling, and maybe even this time here today has given you some insight on, maybe I am on a different path. Maybe I do need to be thinking about these things a little bit differently. Maybe I've been blind throughout this season of life. If those questions are befalling you, come talk to me. Talk to many of us after the service, and we'd be happy to speak to you about what it means to set your first steps on that path of righteousness. But if you're already on that path, which I'm sure many of you are, there's a second set of questions for you. Where are you going currently down the path of righteousness? And in asking that, I want to provide some things for you to think about in light of that. I've really appreciated this series in Proverbs because it's given me some new insights on what it means to walk down a path, or the path of the wise in general. We often talk about the Christian race. I think when we talk about walking and running it, we talk about it having a clear start and an end, and kind of all this in between is often characterized as just a straight beeline. That when we read, God will make your path straight, we just think about a direct line. Well, what's helped me in thinking through this passage, or these passages and this idea recently, is I've come to kind of see that a little bit differently. That I don't think, especially through having lived life, it's not always just point A to point B. It goes all over the place. What I think the way of the wisdom guarantees is that God will make your path smooth and flat, and that there is a path there, but it may have some elevation. That sometimes we have mountaintops, and then other times we have valleys. Life is more rocky, like a roller coaster. But yet walking this way of the wisdom with God ensures that your path is smooth and flat. That, I think, is the straightness that God is talking about there. And that gives me a lot of certainty, especially as I'm wrestling with, where am I going? What is happening? I don't know what I'm doing right now. God has promised that the path is smooth. Doesn't mean it's not going to go up or go down or zigzag or go all over the place. But the path is smooth for me to tread down. And I think we all can attest to this as we all have lived life. And we know that this promised way of the righteous does not guarantee a pain-free life. Life can be very hard. And I thought through kind of in thinking about what does it mean to live life. I thought of the weather. Texas weather is a great example of this. That many of us know you wake up in Texas, 7 a.m., it could be pouring rain. It could be pouring rain and 65 degrees. It just seems like the whole day is going to be gray and muggy and damp. But then by about lunchtime, it's 95 and sunny, clear skies. It's always keeping you on your toes. And I think life is a lot like that as well. That the way of the righteous does not guarantee a pain-free life, but we have that clarity of where we're going. The path is smooth before us. Now, to those who might be hearing these words and thinking, you know, I'm currently in a season where I am stumbling on something. Let me provide you with this hope that I don't know what that stumbling might be for you. But in looking at the way of the wicked, you see how those are people who are characterized by not even being aware of what is causing them to stumble. And I think even having that cognizant idea of, okay, I am stumbling right now, and I know it's because of this, I believe that is a sign that that you are continually walking, that you are still walking on that path. So hearing that there is at least an awareness of what the stumbling is, that should allow us the hope that God's light is enabling us to see the stumbling, and that in doing so, may you continue to walk down that path. Finally, for those who may be feeling a little bit directionless in this time, may you walk confidently and securely during this season, holding on to that wisdom like the author wants you to, so that it becomes synonymous with your life. May you remember in this season that true success, not worldly success, is fulfilling God's plan in dependence on Him. So what I urge you today is, no matter where you are on this path, whether you're just starting, whether you've been on it for a long time, maybe you're in a season of stumbling or directionless, no matter what that looks like for you, may you lean into the light regardless of where you are. And I think the easiest way to do this, to really lean into the light, is to simply ask God, help me to do the next right thing. God is big enough. God has plans for our lives, even when we don't know what the next steps might be. All we can do is trust Him and ask, help me to do the next right thing. Let the light of His wisdom, by leaning into that light, illuminate your path. So by leaning into the light, you can avoid becoming vulnerable to misdirection, emptiness, and corruption. This proper mindset allows us daily to take the next steps down the path, even when we don't exactly know where God is leading us next. So whether you are graduating onto a new stage of life like I am, maybe trying to break some bad habits, or simply going through your days in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, lean into the light His wisdom provides. Recognize what it means to be on His path and continue to walk down it. Keep your steps firm by using His wisdom to remember ultimately where your path is heading, to have a completely unbarred and intimate relationship with Him. Now, as we close today, I just wanted to provide some kind of concluding thoughts on Proverbs, because per my knowledge of the schedule, this is our last week in Proverbs. And so I have often used a Bible study plan that implements several different sections in a day. So you read the Gospels, and you go through all four of those, and then you're also reading a psalm, and then you're in Genesis, and you're in the prophets. You're constantly reading different sections of the text. And one thing I always ask myself is, there was a separate bookmark in this Bible study plan for Proverbs. And so I was constantly reading and rereading and rereading Proverbs. I thought, that's kind of, I'm always reading Proverbs. Why am I doing that? Now, this is not an idea of my own. I heard it from a great teacher. And they said that the best illustration for Proverbs is they're akin to having a hard candy, if you will, like a mint or a Jolly Rancher or something like that. And that I'm sure there may be some of you in the audience today that just like to take one of those and crunch on it. That's crazy to me, but eating a hard candy usually takes time. You have to sit with it for a while. And I think that same principle applies to wisdom, that you have to give it the time necessary for it to kind of seep those little nuggets of wisdom, provide them to you gradually over time. And so now I see the intentionality of that reading plan, that even though I read the same words time and time again, it's constantly giving me new insights, and it's slowly illuminating itself more and more for me to understand its truth. So in having said all that, I think this is a good reminder for us to just lean in, reflect, 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 and lean into that light that this wisdom provides us today. So lean into the light and continue on your walk, no matter what your next steps might be. Thank you.
Well, this is the time in our service where we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. If you did not receive one of these cups on your way in, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that one gets to you. Well, thank you very much for the sermon, Cameron. The path of the wicked and the path of the righteous, it connects so well to one aspect of communion, which is this idea of when the Lord said, "Take and eat," really takes us right back to Genesis 3 in the garden, where the woman took of the fruit and ate. And that was what began humanity's descent into our sin problem. And everyone since Adam and Eve is born into sin. So we are sinners by nature, and we also choose to sin. So sinners by nature and sinners by choice. But this sin does not just affect us as individuals. It's not just something between us and God. The Apostle Paul talks about the church using the picture of a loaf of bread or a piece of dough. And he says a little bit of leaven, which is like sin, leavens the entire lump of dough. And so it's kind of wrong-headed to think that my sin only impacts me. Actually, no, you're part of the body of Christ. And so when we sin, our sin impacts the rest of the body as well, because we're in that body. And so part of communion is a reminder to keep short accounts, to keep regular times of confession and repentance of our sins. And so it's a weekly reminder of that, to be fighting the sin in our lives. Well, as we peel away the top layer and take the wafer, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul the Apostle wrote this: "On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" "Likewise also the cup, after they had eaten, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As Cameron mentioned, after the service, he'll be up here and I'll be up here as well. If you would like someone to talk to or pray with or have any questions, we would be delighted to meet with you. Would you please rise now for the benediction? This is from Jude, verses 24 and 25. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." God bless you. We're dismissed.